Any thoughts about relating to, I mean, there's a lot of, you know, especially contemplating, you know, such, you know, long spans of time and the, you know, the decline of Varanasi. You know, there's a lot comes up. Any suggestion, just picking apart the, sort of samvega from sadness that just doesn't have much purpose?
Well, one of the things is paying attention to the how it can easily drift into sadness and certain frustration. You know, why is the world like this? But it's a bit fun. It's the way it is. So. But then also reflecting back on the principles that the Buddha himself laid down, and realized, well, you can't make the world conform to the Buddhist principles, but we can, say individually, we can try to manifest those principles, and as a community, we can try to do it as best we can, and realizing that those principles are timeless, and you know, that's a source of inspiration. So yes, there is a recognition of the inevitable change, dissolution, and there's a naturalness to that. But within that, there's also these principles that you can encourage yourself with.
So to, on a little more materialistic or worldly level, yes, it's true that it sort of died out in the homeland, but like you said, yes, that's the way of the world. One of the unique parts about Buddhism, in comparison to maybe other religious spiritual systems, is the lack of dependence on a specific holy area.
Yeah.
And of course, that's actually strengthened Buddhism in a way I think is fairly unique. We have, of course, the Pali Canon, but also, you know, Chinese dogmas, Sanskrit fragments, Tibetan fragments. I mean, one of the largest corpuses of most ancient documents and the best meditation instructions in history.
Right.
Somebody, somewhere, groups of many, many thousands of people, millions of people, kept those teachings alive with the seven principles.
Okay.
They may not have been in India. They were in India, and they were in many other places as well.
Yes. Yeah.
It's really inspiring to know that we have all of that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's really, really true. That's, say, the strength of Buddhism is it's in the principles that are not necessary to be focused on a particular place or even, you know, center or hierarchy even. We don't have a Vatican to prop up or a center of Islam, center of Judaism. There's all these places that people sort of fight over. That doesn't exist really. In Buddhism as well. But even the holy places now that are sort of seen as great centers, that's a fairly recent phenomenon. That's kind of the revived. It has certainly a value to it, but it hasn't been propped up. In fact, if anything, they were totally neglected.
There's something I really appreciate about, I hear it time and time again from different Kumbh Ajahns or people relating stories from Kumbh Ajahns about, you don't have to go to India.
Yeah.
That's not where it is.
Yeah.
And it's just, I mean, in addition to just being right on, it's so encouraging and affirmative.
Yeah, the sort of the the teaching and the training is what keeps, is what's at the core. So those, the fundamentals of right view and right practice are what is so important. And if you go to India to pilgrimage, it isn't, you don't get any special juice from there other than a reminder that, you know, right view, right practice.